Blog Talk Radio.
Okay, I'm going to start the show. I'm just going to mute everybody for the intro. Feel free to unmute yourself after.
Recording in progress.
This is your announcer, Chuck Landington, welcoming you to the Metal Injection Livecast. Dan Izzy is on the show tonight to talk about his new book, Sellout. I assume this book is a hard-hitting investigation into allegations that Sid actually uses Arial Fund on his work documents and not Comic Sans. Shame on you, Sid. The Metal Injection Livecast starts now.
Chuck Landington exposing the truth. Sid is a poser. Welcome to the Metal Injection Livecast. Is it true, Sid?
Sadly, it is.
Well, we are here.
Fans champion.
We are here. We're already getting new revelations, and we're very excited to have a very special guest on the show. You might have figured it out, but he has a new book. His name is Dan Izzy, writer, actor, man about town. I don't know if you're an actor. But Dan, welcome, and you're talking about your new book, Sellout.
I'm not going to talk about it. That's boring, but...
You're here to promote.
I guess so. In a subtle way, yeah, I'm here to promote.
You're not going to do a reading?
It's interesting you're pretty low-key about it. I didn't really even know you had a book out until about a minute ago.
Yeah, I've been pretty subtle about it. I don't like to brag. But I do, I am in the business, the book selling business, so I got to move these copies.
Yeah, you got a publisher's advance you need to recoup.
Yeah, man.
So you got to work it. The full title of the book is called Sellout, the Major Label Feeding Frenzy That Swept Punk, Emo, and Hardcore, 1994 to 2007.
Oh, there it is. Right on.
That's
the
correct. That's correct, Rob. Thank you so much for that.
Sorry, Rob. I didn't catch that. Can you
Sellout.
And the website, Rob. And the website.
That swept punk, emo, and hardcore, 1994 to 2007. More info at sellout.biz.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
Great.
How has it been being a complete and total shill these last few weeks for your book?
Really sucks. I hate it. This is the part of the job that I just feel like an elixir salesman. I just like go door-to-door, and I'm just like, selling my snake oil, but the book is good, so I don't feel too bad about it, but I'm like trying to be like, buy my book.
I thought Sid would like to know that Jeff Rosenstock endorsed it.
He did. My neighbor, my former neighbor in Brooklyn and current neighbor in Los Angeles, Jeff Rosenstock. I just move where he goes, so he endorsed it. He said a ringing endorsement.
Well, I already pre-ordered the book before I knew about that, but maybe I'll order it a second time.
Wouldn't hurt.
Now,
I would advise everybody to order a second copy just in case something happens to that first one. You want to have a backup.
There's no like a warranty?
No, I can't offer you any extended warranty on it. You're just going to have to buy the second copy, I think.
Right. I'll do it.
Not a fan of reading, so I just bought a shirt. A sellout shirt.
Hey, man, I'll take the sellout, too. Selling, I wanted to do so many more stupid things that got kind of like, maybe this is too much. Just, fanny packs and like money clips and stuff. But it's like, let's see how people react to a T-shirt. And then maybe we'll do those custom golf tees or whatever I was going to do.
You had the perfect excuse because it's like it's a theme. You're making fun of people selling out.
Yeah. Can't make fun of me for... I get it. It's a joke. Ha ha. No, but really, give me the money. Yeah, exactly.
Buy this golf tee.
I just saw Rob a couple weeks ago in person.
That was right for you.
It was great. We hung out. We went to Grill 'Em All here in Los Angeles, the metal themed burger restaurant. Perfect.
You remember what Rob ordered?
Oh, man, what did Rob order? Everything has a pun name, so I'm sure he got, like, the high on fire. What did you get?
Well,
I remember, I mean, I've been to Grilla Mall when it was a food truck, but I haven't been to the...
You love saying that.
Yeah, it's like saying you had the demo of the band.
He must have said this four times when we went. He loves it.
So, being as though I've been to the Grilla Mall
Rob wants
food
to make
truck,
sure he's not a sellout.
Yeah.
I had a high on fire when it was just in a dude's house.
Yeah.
It's no big
well,
deal.
Well, what's so funny is, like, Dan recommends me, like, hey, you should get the Behemoth grilled cheeseburger if you really want to go crazy, which is like, first of all, how dare you, Dan, recommend the biggest heart attack on the menu.
Yeah, but I that's what I get sometimes when I go.
So this burger is essentially a burger, and the buns...
Bacon cheeseburger.
It's a bacon cheeseburger, and the buns are two grilled cheese sandwiches.
Oh, my God.
Sandwiches. That's yeah. Right. So there's four pieces of bread. Oh.
I'll do that like once a year, maybe, you know, if I'm really...
When you're depressed?
They're pretty...
No, it's usually for celebratory purposes, Noah. I'm like, when we celebrate finishing my book by trying to kill myself.
The depression comes after eating that burger because it is
what a weird idea. Because, like, when have you ever eaten a burger, right? Like, imagine, like, anytime you've ever eaten a burger, imagine if somebody had said, hey, you want a grilled cheese sandwich too? And you'd be like, okay, kind of weird, I guess, but I'll have one, sure. And then you finish that, and somebody's like, hey, man, was that good? You want another grilled cheese sandwich? Like, when would that ever happen?
Yeah, when you said that, I was just picturing, you know, a grilled cheese sandwich with a burger patty on it, which to me seems somewhat reasonable.
No.
Yeah, this is like a double down. It's like a KFC double down.
Yeah. And, you know, I'm not shilling out for them, but certainly if they want to send us free gift certificates.
Yeah,
I'll give them
all the. Yeah, it's great. If you like metal, if you like pro wrestling, they had like Japanese pro wrestling tapes on. It was really, really cool. Good vibes all around.
What did you get, by the way, Rob? I'm forgetting.
Let me look up the menu now.
It wasn't that fucking long ago.
Yeah, dude.
Well, I want to know the specific name of the thing that I got.
Did
got,
one
like,
of you treat the other one? Was this a
no, but
the bill situation?
We Dutch split it, whatever that's called. But it was, and I'm not just saying this to goose them up. It was, you know, one of the nicest days that I've had. We had a little like afternoon burger
delight,
and then we got ice cream and the sunset on us. It was quite the LA day.
Yeah, it was actually really, really nice. I was very glad.
I mean that. I had such a nice time.
Was there montage with like Reunited and It Feels So Good playing in the background?
Wouldn't it be nice?
Any high fives that were given at any point?
I'm sure there were high fives, yeah.
I got the Metallica, very boring Swiss avocado, bacon, ranch, lettuce, tomato, red onion.
They don't even give it a Metallica song, like a pun in any way, just Metallica.
That's correct. Well, there's some puns. There's Jump in the Fryer.
That's good.
Which is waffle buns, cheddar, fried chicken, bacon, maple, sriracha.
I support that.
Winger, a.k.a. the Stewart.
That's funny.
Which is American lettuce, tomato, pickle, thousand.
They have one called 200 stab wounds. Pulled pork, corn relish, pepper jack. Sometimes they got specials. You got to look. You got to pay attention.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And the Samoa Joe has cheddar, bacon, fresh pineapple, grilled onion, and barbecue.
How'd he get a sandwich?
Yeah, he's not metal.
They're big wrestling fans.
Wow.
That's how it works.
Yeah, it's kind of a metal / wrestling appreciation burger place. In the middle of the weirdest, like most nondescript parking lot in Alhambra, just kind of next to a movie theater, very unceremonious.
Yeah, it really does not look seedy or I mean the inside does because they purposely like, you know, grunge it up. It's clean, but you know, it has like the metal look, but like outside it's just a strip mall. It's pretty funny.
That was
actually a great day, man. I ended up taking the streets back home after that, from the east side to the west side.
Rob was like, it was funny how quickly Rob became an LA guy, because he was just like, okay, I have to go get a good spot for the sunset. So I have to go watch the sunset.
Like a good spot where, like on the beach? What do you mean?
Well, I told you weren't going to make it back all the way to the west side in time to see it at the beach. I told you to go to Elysian Point, I believe.
Yes, and it was actually really cool. Yeah, so every night I basically made a point to check out the sunset. It was so nice, and I was just not in a positive mind frame, and it was the only thing that brightened me up. So Dan recommended the spot, and it was actually really, really awesome. I kind of, for a moment, thought I was going to get murdered, but then I got there. I found the spot, and it was
why
fine.
Did you elaborate on that?
Just because I kept looping around this mountain and there was like nobody or nothing or no signs. But then eventually I saw some light.
I like how if any New Yorker is out of like reaching distance from people for more than like 10 minutes, they're like, I'm going to get murdered.
Yeah. Did you think it would be like a drifter or a mountain lion? Like, who did you think was going to kill you?
Yeah, were you
a drifting mountain lion, actually.
Yeah. That is we do have a problem with those here.
A mountain lion carrying a bag on a stick.
Yeah, like get a job, mountain lion.
My favorite part of that story was that you were around no one and felt your life was in danger, and when you stopped feeling in danger was when you saw people.
Oh, yeah.
Social
well, like,
being. Rob is a social creature.
Yeah,
thank you. And also, it's people that I knew I could beat up. It wasn't like people that were like physically imposing. It was like,
that
okay,
makes sense.
This is fine. This is
L.A.
Right.
People. Could you see into Dodger Stadium from there?
Yes. So that was the coolest part is that you said it overlooks Dodger Stadium. And so not only was I enjoying the sunset and getting some lovely views of L.A., but I saw a completely empty Dodger Stadium from up top. It felt like I was in one of those helicopter cams they have on
yeah, you were shooting drone footage out there.
Yeah, it was really cool.
Except you were just standing, right? And it seemed like you were in a helicopter.
Yeah. It seemed like I was floating because of all the weed that I smoked up there and the high elevation.
And plus, you had just housed the Metallica burger.
And I housed the Metallica burger.
Yeah. Did you have to take a shit?
I couldn't stay too long because I asked to take a shit. I actually dumped there. No. I held it down pretty well, actually, I would say.
Congratulations.
Because I think then I just...
walking.
Yeah. I think I then drove back to Santa Monica just taking the streets. Maybe take the highway. I want to see the streets of L.A.
How long did that take?
It took about an hour.
Yeah.
A little over an hour. I stopped for some Carl's Jr. No, I didn't. No, that was
Carl's
that
Jr.
Was a different
he went
night.
And got a couple of grilled cheeses to put around it.
Carl's Jr., man.
I did end up having Carl's Jr. on that trip for the first time, and I was like, this What'd is the
think?
Worst
oh,
of
dude.
All the fast food burgers.
When I got out to L.A., I was, like, really intent on having all the fast food places that we don't have on the East mm-hmm. Coast. That's clearly like my level of culture. So I was like, yeah, In-N-Out, Wiener Schnitzel. Like I want all the things that I've heard about in Descendants songs. And so I think Carl's Jr. is by far the absolute worst that I've ever had. I threw half a burger out. I don't think I've ever done that in my entire life. But
was
I was
so bad.
I have like an iron stomach and I was like, I don't feel well. This is bad.
I got a question. Have you ever eaten White Castle, and what does that do to your iron stomach?
I love eating White Castle. Are you kidding? I miss it so much. I haven't had it. When the one in Williamsburg closed, I wanted to cry.
It was a very sad moment.
Do you emerge from the other side of White Castle, like, physically intact?
I mean, I don't feel great. I don't feel great. When I was 17, my friend and I had a contest to see who could eat more cheeseburgers. And I won technically in that I ate more burgers, but I remember like lying at midnight on my bed, on my bathroom floor, just like on my back being like, I don't feel good. And I remember my mom came in. She was like, you're so stupid. it's too much onion.
How many you
it's
had?
Too many. Yeah. 17. It's too many fucking onions. It's
Wait,
too many
you
onions.
Ate your age in White Castle?
Yeah, I never thought of it like that.
Very poetic.
You should try to duplicate that now.
Oh, I bet I bet I'd be way worse. Because when you're 17, you just burn calories.
Oh, yeah.
You're just a horny little, like, calorie
You're fucking chicken rings on the side.
I feel like I don't – I bet I wouldn't even be able to do 10 now. Maybe I could do 10, but that would probably be where I cap off.
We should all in our spare time this week see how just get like one of them crates.
But that's
sacks.
The thing. I don't know where I can get it. And you can get White Castle at the supermarket, but it's not the same. Those microwavable ones, they're bad. They're ice in the middle. They're no good.
Yeah. They're not good.
They haven't perfected the formula yet. The recipe is not good.
Are they on Gold Belly? Maybe you could order delivery from an actual restaurant.
What's the worst? So Carl's Jr. was the worst that you've ever had to, Rob. You're agreeing
ever,
with
yes. I would say it's below Checkers.
Ooh, I've gotten sick on Checkers, too. The one in downtown Brooklyn. That one
I've never had Checkers.
Yeah. It's very bland. But I would say, so to Darren's point, I think at least the White Castle burgers have a unique flavor to them.
Absolutely.
Delicious. Yeah, so it's like there's something worth it. With Carl's Jr., it's like, this is the most boring burger I've ever had.
Mm.
So I was very disappointed.
White Castle, the one in Williamsburg, I used to like, I feel like I have a real hard limit on parties, especially on like the hip part of Williamsburg. So I used to go there in my 20s and be there, and then like I'd be at a party, and around midnight, I'd be like, I have to fucking go home. I can't deal with this anymore. And so I would hit that White Castle on the way home, and I would eat it at 1 a.m. in the dark in my apartment in shame, the way White Castle is meant to be eaten.
Cinnabon and White Castle.
Yeah. Just in total shame, preferably in the darkness of your own making. That's the way you're supposed to enjoy them.
Yeah. I have to throw my hat in the ring and say Burger King is the worst fast food.
It's reliably
fine. Oh, I don't know.
It's fine.
I really like the Whopper. I'm a big fan of the Whopper.
I think the Whopper is the best menu item, but anything I've ever had other than a Whopper, it just, including the Whopper, immediately fucks up my stomach almost identically to how White Castle does. And everything else other than the Whopper does not warrant eating it for the taste factor. I just think it's just trash.
I used to be into their old school breaded chicken sandwich just because
that's
it tasted like school cafeteria breaded chicken sandwiches.
That's what I get. Mm-hmm.
And it was just like a nostalgia thing.
Some of the locations still have it, even though they now have like a knockoff shitty Popeye's imitation sandwich. They still have the long bun.
I think all of them still have it. It's like one of their signature menu items on the value menu.
I've had some real hit or miss experiences with Jack in the Box out here. They make a good shake, but that's about it. And Rob, when you were here, did you do In-N-Out?
Yeah, but I mean, that's just, I've done that a million times.
But that was after.
Good old reliable.
It's
ranked pretty high on my fast food burger list. I think
What's your top three burgers? Because I've been thinking a lot about this lately.
This fast food only?
Or no, rank these three, okay? Rank these three. In-N-Out, Shake Shack, Five Guys. Which is your best to worst?
Boy.
I would do In-N-Out, Shake Shack, Five Guys. That would be my ranking.
What? We're completely the opposite.
Yeah, I would do I would do Five Guys, Shake Shack, and In-N-Out.
Yeah, Noah's correct.
For me, it's Shake Shack, In-N-Out, and then Five Guys, like a distant.
Maybe it's just like I feel like Five Guys' quality has deteriorated so much in the last few years that they've really fallen off.
That's what makes it more delicious.
I have not had it in a while. That's interesting.
I think In-N-Out is that great, is it?
It's not, but in terms of price, it's a good combo of like.
And I think it's consistent.
Yeah.
I like that I could put jalapenos on it.
You get it animal style. Which sounds, I hate ordering that. It sounds terrible. Yeah, can I get some fries and you make them fucking animal style? Yeah.
Make them for an animal.
Make those animal style.
Fat Burger is my favorite West Coast chain.
Fat Burger.
Amazing.
I was having like a really bad night, right before the pandemic. I was having a shitty night and I like walked to Fat Burger and I got just like everything. I got like the big cheeseburger, the big cheese fries, the shake. It was like $30 or something. And I was like, God. I was like, you know, I think I'm actually trying to kill myself. Like, I think this is a slow form of suicide that I'm doing here.
Mm-hmm. Do you get like a free sweatshirt or something when you purchase that much Fat Burger?
They wheel you out for free.
Free gurney.
Yeah. Fat Burger. You could put some calories on in Fat Burger for sure.
Right. And what I really like is the inside of the establishment. It's like a themed, sort of like it's really like an Ice Cube movie or something. It's just it's a great like early 90s hip hop sort of motif that they have in there. It's fun. It's like really nostalgic.
You know what I had for the first time last night in like maybe years? A Pizza Hut stuffed crust pizza.
Any good?
Yeah, it was pretty good. I just had the last slice for lunch today, but it was good. I mean, like, Pizza Hut's pretty much been Pizza Hut since I was a kid.
They remember their breadsticks and the sauce they gave
you?
Yeah,
I got those too, of course.
Nice.
But no, it's been the same since I was a kid. Unlike Domino's, who I feel like every, like, 8 months, Domino's is like, we're changing our formula.
Yeah.
We have a new recipe. It's like, it's fucking pizza. How is it taking, you've been around for like 30 years. How is it fucking taking you this long to figure pizza out?
But they're right to do it because it sucks.
They're trying. But at what point are they going to be like, okay, we can't do it. We've tried to make a good pizza for the price it cost us, and we just can't. Just, this is the best we can do. I'll accept that if they just said that.
We're going to sell auto parts now. Domino's auto parts. We give up.
I had Pizza Hut recently. A friend got it, and I took a slice. And instant acid reflux. The tomato sauce instantly had, like, the gurgling. And the breadsticks, it blew my mind. Now, you say they didn't change the formula. To me, is it that they didn't change the formula, or my palate is just way more refined from when I was a kid? Because it's just, like, I used to love those breadsticks. Like, they were just, I would eat them like.
Did you get the cheesy breadsticks or the regular breadsticks?
The regular.
Mm-hmm. That's what
the
I
regular.
Got too.
They just felt almost stale.
Mm.
It's like,
yeah, they
come
didn't,
on.
They definitely did not blow me away last night. I'll say that. But, you know.
I've never had a stuffed crust of any kind on any pizza, Domino's, Pizza Hut, anything. Never had stuffed crust. Just seems like too much. Just seems like too much of a good thing at that point.
Put it on top.
Yeah.
Take it out and put it on top.
I think stuffed crust is genius, but then do you remember the commercials that tell you, oh, you should eat it backwards? Remember those from the 90s?
Yes.
And I just don't like being told how to fucking eat my pizza. I just won't be – I don't – some commercial jerk telling me how to eat my pizza. But is that – but now I don't know. Is that the right way to do it? I don't know. I just ate it straight up regular, like a regular slice.
The old treat at the end.
Yeah, exactly. A little treat. You can dunk it in the marinara if you want. A little treat.
You can't dunk like a side of a pizza. That doesn't work.
You gotta fold it. You know, you gotta fold it.
That's also what I was gonna say. Like, it seems impractical. You have to sort of hold it like an out of towner.
Yeah.
Like in your palm of your hand and eat it this way, rather than like a New Yorker and folding it. Then you clearly can't eat the back first, right?
Yeah, you gotta do it like, yeah, you gotta do it triangle style.
Do you guys remember where the Pizza Hut I want to say either in Brooklyn or Queens was.
There's one in the Junction. Well, there are some in Brooklyn. There's one.
No. There was like a full on restaurant. Because I just remember going there as a kid. Like, we thought that Pizza Hut was like a high end pizzeria in the 90s because we were immigrants, you know. And I just remember like we would take like a whole family.
Wait, hold
trip
on,
there.
It's not a high end pizza restaurant. I'm just learning this now.
I just had a flashback. I think it was next to the Sizzler. Where was this? Was that on Flatbush?
Well, there was a Sizzler on Emmons.
The one by Red Lobster on the Wake and Sally? Yeah.
And there was also a Sizzler in Queens.
No, there was a giant Taco Bell right near Brooklyn College. I don't know if that's what you're thinking of.
No, I remember we used to go in Brooklyn College to the, like, it was Taco Bell.
I meant Pizza Hut.
Pizza Hut.
It was.
And that
and,
local.
Like, there was the barbecue pit.
Yeah, the barbecue pit.
Mm-hmm.
I just remember as a kid
are
going
there
to a Pizza
still,
Hut restaurant.
Are there still Pizza Hut dine-in restaurants anywhere?
Yeah, but they're usually absorbed into KFC. Like, they sell both and they have
so there's no
area.
There's no more sit-down Pizza Hut restaurant.
I haven't seen one in ages.
Remember those red cups?
You mean the plastic one?
Yeah, I fucking flip out every time I see those.
There's something about that that's just perfectly chemically engineered.
It holds the ice exactly at the temperature it's supposed to be.
So
wait, what is this? I'm not aware of this.
They had red cups for beverages. That's pretty much all Darren and I are talking about.
I saw those cups in like a 99-cent store once, and I bought two of them. I was so excited. I was giddy. And I got it home. It didn't have the same chemical properties.
It's something about it being washed hundreds of times.
Probably right.
And remember they have the – this is what you guys brought me on for, I know. Remember, they had like the buffet too.
The Taco Bell? I mean,
no,
pizza.
Yeah.
Yes.
I don't remember. What was in the buffet?
Well, what was the buffet's deal? Was it only before a certain time? Because I remember my friends and I used to go there early, or maybe it was just, I don't remember. But they had like a lunch buffet where you could just go up and grab slices of pizza. They had salad. They had a salad bar. But like, I think before a certain time, they had just like a pizza buffet too.
I don't remember this at all.
They could never do that now. Too many germs. But, and also Pizza Hut doesn't exist anymore. But all those reasons.
There's a Chinese buffet that's right near me that is open and thriving. Every time I walk by there, there's like 50 people inside.
Yeah, I feel that they've kind of loosened the buffet stuff because even at Whole Foods now, the buffet, the like salad bar is completely open, whereas before, for the longest time, they didn't even have it. They're like, no, we don't care. Go for it. Go nuts.
So bad. I want to go to a Chinese buffet and load it up with like shitty lo mein up to like a foot high, and then on the top just a little slice of soggy little pizza just on the top, and I don't know why. Why do they even bother with that shit there?
Because you go with a party
for
of
the
like
kids.
Eight people.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
One of them just won't eat anything but pizza.
Yeah.
I used to be this one. Dessert. That on Emmons Avenue, you just mentioned Emmons Avenue, that they had crab legs and one set of tongs. And the people would, like, when the crab legs would run out, eight people would just swarm the empty crab legs tin and fight over the tongs and, like, wait for the crab legs to be brought out in the next tin. And
why would you need tongs to grab crab legs? They're already, like, basically packaged.
I think
they kind of look like tongs.
Yeah.
The management, I think, hassled people not to touch the crab legs without the tongs for whatever reason. Maybe not because so much that you're going to poison yourself, but rather you're spreading your germs to the crab legs, and then the next person takes it, and then they get whatever you had on your hands.
Man.
But you're still all touching the tongs.
I guess. I'm trying to come up with a reasonable answer.
I'm now imagining a scenario where, like, a Kevin James type character, like a sitcom kind of CBS guy, where it's like, oh, I'm never going to let this happen again. And then they just bring their own tongs.
Yeah, that was my solution. We never went back. I told Jennifer.
You know, it's like, hey, if you're,
bring a set of tongs and just stand there.
If you're going and you know you want these crab legs, because look, I get it. Crab legs are not cheap. And especially at an all-you-can-eat buffet, that's like the caviar of the buffet. Go prepared. Bring your own tongs.
But then they're going to think that you're stealing their tongs when you take the tongs back to your table. It's going to be a whole hassle.
Let them keep them. Let them keep them. Maybe then, then the everything will move a little faster if there's two pairs of tongs. Maybe that's how they ended up with only one pair of tongs. Too many people started taking them home.
I think some of it was a little performative on the part of the restaurant, too. Like, they just wanted to make the crab legs seem like a big deal, so they did all this unnecessary authoritarian, like...
It's a velvet rope.
Yeah, yeah. They just one tong. Don't touch the fucking crab legs. Use the tongs. They kind of. It's just the fact that they had it. It makes it seem more important than it is. You know?
Yeah.
Also, I bet there were probably small crab legs. And I feel like crab legs in general is so much work. The
so
work,
much work
to reward ratio
not,
is
not
very low. Yeah.
Seems like it.
So I don't know.
Can I tell you the best buffet I ever found myself at was this is I don't know if I want to get into the whole backstory, but through some weird situations. I went to a Yankees game and I had Lorne Michaels's tickets. I'm not joking when I say it was row one, seat one, right?
God
and
damn.
I don't know if you know this, but behind home plate for like the box seat holders, there is a huge buffet restaurant back there.
We've done it.
Oh, you've done it?
Yeah. Noah's friend hooked us up.
Oh, isn't it the best?
And, yes, and I brought Rob Lobster legs from there.
Yeah. Yeah. So for those who have not been privileged enough to get back there, I've only been once. They have like burgers and dogs and stuff. Yeah. But then they have like crab legs and lobster tails and steak and sushi.
Mm-hmm.
They have the most insane shellfish spread I've ever seen.
It was
just any type of shellfish.
All like a table of ice, right? And then just like crab legs on top of it. It's so fucking good. I didn't want to go to the game. It was like the third inning, and I was still
We watched maybe 5 minutes of the game.
But then I went out to the game, and the guy was like, hey, can I get you something, a hot dog or something maybe? And I was like, is that free too? And they're like, yeah. And I was like,
oh, yes.
Fucking yes, dude. Give me a hot dog.
There was that little room. You, like, go down the stairs, and, like, in the stairs, like, where the seats are, there was a room with hot dogs and, like,
candy
snacks,
and stuff.
Candy.
Like, Cracker Jack. Oh, dude, that was so good.
I just imagine how much of that food do they go through if they do this every fucking game.
Right,
you know?
They must throw out so much.
Well, I mean, it's a hot dog, so it could last
through
like nuclear times.
Yeah, like all the fish, I mean, and like the steaks. Steaks!
If I ever get to go back there, I'm bringing an entire backpack with clothes in it because I'm not leaving. I'm going to go...
You're
going to
bring like
the Marge
Simpson trench coat from the gummy convention.
I'm not joking when I say that, like, it was the fastest a baseball game has ever gone for me because I was just eating the whole time and I was the last person in the whole stadium. And the person was like, hey, sorry to bother you, but we are clearing out now. And I was like, all right. But like, I'm going to find a place to just like sleep for the night. Wake up for the next game tomorrow. Just sort of camp out there.
Easily the best baseball game I've ever been to in that I barely watched any baseball and just ate a bunch of foods.
Yes.
Was Darren with us?
I don't think
nope. So.
I feel like Darren was too principled to sell himself out to go to a Yankees game.
I've been to Yankees games, many Yankees games.
Then why weren't you?
I would support any team for that.
For free food, yeah.
I would support the fucking Auschwitz Hitlers if that was a team.
Speaking of which, I remember that night there was a big buzz in the dining room because apparently Trump Jr. was in attendance.
Oh, no.
We didn't see him, though, but we heard murmurings. This was his dad being president, I think.
Yeah, this is way before 2016.
He just wanted to go to a place where he wouldn't even be in the top 45,000 biggest assholes.
Yeah.
For one.
And free lobster. Also.
Didn't he have his own tier of free lobster, like being a VIP?
Well, who knows, Dan? Maybe if you sell enough books, you can have the same experience at Dodger Stadium.
Oh.
Yeah, maybe.
You could sit next to Mary Hart in the front
My
row.
Friends went to the Hella Mega Tour a couple weeks ago, and they had like a box up and asked me if I wanted to go. And I had something to do, and I was bummed because I'd already seen that tour, but it would have been cool to get free hot dogs while watching music. Do you guys – I wanted to ask you guys if you think I should do this. I just got asked if I want to cover the Danzig Sings Elvis on Halloween here.
Why wouldn't you?
Yeah, right?
Come on, of course.
I would say you should because it's more than likely going to be a train wreck.
Well, didn't you tell me that his set at Psycho whatever was actually really good?
Yes, it was very, very good. I was pleasantly surprised. His voice was on point. He was in a good mood, but he was singing Danzig songs.
I was going to say.
You think this will not translate?
He had that EP that he put out. And
I liked the Elvis album, the Danzig thing, but I thought it was cool. I don't know.
I was a little disappointed with it. But I definitely think you should go because either way, if it's great, it'll be something to talk about. And if it's not great, it's definitely something to talk about.
Yeah, maybe I will. Okay, I'm going to respond to that. That I'm going to do that. Yeah.
Do it right now.
I like that Danzig Sings Elvis album. I also have like horrible brain damage. And so I don't even know what's good or bad anymore, but I have listened to it. And now that it's Halloween again, I think I'm going to add it to my rotation again for October.
Will there be a screening of his new movie too or no?
Oh dude, I can't wait. I was just looking that up. That's gotta be the worst. I'm sure I talked about Veronica the last time.
Oh, yeah,
we've
watched it.
I can't fucking wait for that new movie. It's going to be so bad.
Like
Isn't
in a good way,
soon?
Though.
No, it's got to be. If they're missing a Halloween release for this movie,
right?
They fucked up.
Yeah,
so
no,
bad.
I think it's already in theaters.
What's
so,
it
yeah, it should
like,
be.
Damn, hold on. I got it on my watch list.
Danzig's Western horror
vampire
special.
Vampire western. Yeah.
A rider in the house of death. Rider in the house of vampires.
Great.
The one thing that a friend of mine went and saw the premiere here in New York a few weeks ago.
Was it Doyle?
No, Doyle was not my friend, sadly. what they said was that, like, at least this one was like a movie, whereas the last one just in terms of aesthetic was not a movie. Like, it was like barely a student film. Yeah. This is at least a competent piece of filmmaking.
You know what I was thinking is probably, like, now that I've had some time to reflect on Veronica, I think my favorite part of it is the fact that, like, one of the vignettes, maybe that middle one, he, like, insisted on being set in Paris, which didn't, like, have anything, like, it never came up. It was not important that it was in Paris, but it was just great that he said it there, because then all of, like, the stripper actresses that were in the movie had to be like, oh, I am a French, you know, just like the worst French accent you've ever heard. So, like, he could have just easily made that in Los Angeles or whatever, but he's like, no, it's important that it's in Paris.
He wanted to show his range.
I am so sad that I am out of baguettes. This is terrible.
Yeah, they're just carrying around baguettes and have, like, berets on and stuff. It's just, and, like, the actresses can just so barely act, and then to ask them to do an accent on top of it is just a stroke of genius that only could have come out of the brain of Glenn Danzig. God bless them.
It's true. I think there's, like, maybe a 15 to 20% chance that this movie could be, like, unironically good. And an 80% chance that it'll be, like, ironically enjoyable and good.
Am I remembering this correctly? Is Danny Trejo in this movie?
Yeah, I think there's a few legit actors, right? Like, Devin Sawa is in it, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's the lead.
Yeah. Jesus. Well, I mean, I'm seeing it. He's got my $20, so.
It certainly looks weird and interesting. Like, if Danzig wasn't involved and if Danzig hadn't made a horrifically bad movie like a couple of years ago, I would say this looks interesting. It could be horrible, but it looks like it's caught my interest. Just the fact, I think I'm prejudicing it by the fact that Danzig is the creative force behind it.
Yeah,
you know what I mean?
I agree. I remember I came out of Veronica being like, the person who made this has some sort of brain damage. Like, a normal functioning brain wouldn't look at that finished result and be like, yep, that's how I saw it in my head. Like, there's something like off about the person who made that.
Or just like, yep, I'm done here. There's nothing that could possibly be done to improve this.
Nailed it.
Like, yeah, do you think, like, maybe with this movie, do you think there will be, like, a studio person mercifully telling him, like, hey, Danzig.
No.
He doesn't listen to those kind of stuffed shirts.
It's being put out by his record label, basically.
Cleopatra, right?
Yeah, it's Cleopatra Entertainment. So they're just doing whatever.
That was the other thing that was so funny about it was that, like, he's built his whole career. I mean, his entire fucking band was, like, an homage to horror movies. He's, like, horror movie lover number one. And he got his whole 62, 61? He's got his whole life to make his first horror movie. And that was it. Like, I really feel like if this first one wasn't good, I really don't think he's going to nail this second one. He had his whole life to make Veronica, and that's what came out.
It's just the film started rolling, and he's just like, no, I think I want to make a film about France. I changed my mind. Yeah.
Yeah. Excited.
Do you think this one will have any women with eyeballs on their nipples? Do you think he'll continue that?
Don't bother.
That never got explained either. No, they never explained why that was.
You should just know.
It's a good movie.
My favorite part is what I hope I'm not confusing the movies, but was that the one where the cops are trying to break into someone's apartment and they have a battering ram? And the door is clearly made of, like, oak tag cardboard and just collapses immediately.
Yes.
That was my number one favorite moment of that.
Part I remember most was when the guy who's in the spider suit, I think, like, crouches down and you can see that the crotch of it is unbuttoned. Like they built in like a bathroom slot for him, and it was not buttoned.
We should do another Patreon episode and have Van watch it with us this time.
Oh my god!
I would love to. I would
do a whole.
Yeah, I want to watch that new movie for charity or something. You know, we got to do like a Twitch stream of it for charity. Yeah.
Do the new one.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. Well, let's talk about semi-metal news.
Oh.
Metal and educational news. It's
we
a combo.
Just talked about Grill 'Em All. What are you talking about? That was entirely metal combo.
You're right. I mean, look, not that we have sort of quota here, but the story is just pretty hilarious. A principal is under fire for being an Iron Maiden fan. You guys hear about this?
No.
You guys hear about this?
No.
So this principal went to a Maiden show and she shared a photo on her principal Instagram account. Here, let me show you the photo. And students are pissed.
The students?
I mean, not the students. The parents are pissed. So here's the photo. It's basically her tailgating at an Iron Maiden show. Mm-hmm. She's given the horn. She's in full Iron Maiden regalia. There's a Iron Maiden license plate. There's Eddie toys. There's an Iron Maiden flag. Typical Iron Maiden fan, right? And so the parents launched a petition that had like 500 signatures to get her removed. And then students launched a counter petition, which had like 25,000 signatures to get her to stay.
Mm-hmm.
But here's the complaint. As concerned parents with impressionable children at Eden High School in St. Catharines, Ontario, we are deeply disturbed that the principal assigned to the school blatantly showed satanic symbols and her allegiance to satanic practices on her public social media platforms where all students could see them. Our school is based on inclusion, and openly displaying satanic symbols on a public social media platform that directly goes against the principles of the vast majority of families who are represented in the school is not inclusive. What?
If you're listening on audio, by the way, Rob was clutching his décolletage during that whole thing. Add to the performance.
As parents, we are demanding her transfer to another school. Please replace her with another principal who aligns with the values of the families at Eden and will not sabotage the teaching or upholding of those values and will not try to introduce impressionable students to satanic practices or symbolism. That's a run-on sentence.
I love how Canadian they are and that they don't even want her fired. They just want her transferred.
Move her over.
It's so nice.
They don't want her to lose her job.
Yeah.
Just transfer to a more satanic school.
Iron Maiden is like the most innocuous metal band.
Yeah, you could go to Grill 'Em All and get the Iron Maiden burger. Like,
yeah, they're like
not in Ontario.
Friendly.
I guess to normies, they're friendly. Like they have a song called 666 Number of the Beast. So it's not that friendly. Also, I love that they're talking about inclusiveness.
Yeah.
I guess Satanists aren't included in the inclusiveness. And also, though, it's just like, come on, how dumb are you? Satanists don't believe in Satan. You know, it's the Christians who believe in Satan. Don't be stupid.
Metaphorical.
Rob, you have the energy for this.
Nothing
like,
happened.
I can't believe it's 2021 and this is like.
Right.
Like people, yeah, like there are people that actually believe like this woman is a Satanist and she will convert their children to be Satanists. Like, don't you have worse things to worry about?
I also like,
Canada?
I bet if
you know
you
what,
play, sorry.
Well, I was just going to say, you know what it is? It's because
she's
a girl boss, and they don't like her in a position of power.
I could see it.
Also, how many high school students do you think followed their principal on social media? Like, none of
probably
these kids
parents.
Even saw this picture
yet.
It's other parents.
You're saying they Barbra Streisand affected this into, like, a story? They drew the kids' attention to it because
mm-hmm.
it blew up?
Yeah, I mean, look at how much the counter petition got. It's Principal, not Principala, okay?
What?
That's what they're saying. I don't know.
Rob, I think you found the Rosetta Stone for convincing religious nuts to be more normal and just, it's just shut up. Stop being stupid. I think you should put that into a bumper sticker. It might work.
Hey, Christian, shut up. Stop being stupid.
See? That's some new Metal Injection merch right there.
Yeah, when he says bumper, he means your third butt cheek.
Oh, no.
It's already its own sticker.
Do you still have it, Rob?
Yeah, I'm actually going to have a procedure in the next few months to have the blood sucked out of my third
again?
Butt cheek. Again? Again, yeah. I went and I got it checked out. For non-longtime listeners, about 7-8 years ago, I was drunk, walking down some strange steps. I slipped, fell directly on my butt cheek, and grew a third butt cheek out of it. A big bruise developed and never really receded. And turns out there was a bunch of blood there. And I got it drained. And
you okay?
The butt cheek is feeding him his
line. Brain too.
I got it drained, and then like it didn't like a few months ago. I was like, "Huh, it looks like it's basically the same size as it was before I got it drained." Sure enough, it was. So now I'm gonna get it drained again, and then the doctor said that like he's gonna try to patch it up so that more blood doesn't.
You gonna hire one of Danzig's cowboy vampires to suck the blood out this time?
You know, I just watched the movie Malignant. And do you think you have like an evil twin who lives in your butt who tells you kind of like command? Oh shit! Spoiler alert for that. Sorry, it wasn't in the butt in the movie, but in Rob's movie.
I mean, that would make sense.
Yeah.
Can we do it, Rob?
Just commanding you what to do from your butt.
Eat more shrimp.
Can we do a farewell show for your butt cheek?
Sure.
Whatever they drain out of there, you need to be able to take it home, and we could give that away to a lucky listener.
That's a Patreon.
Maybe like in a jar, a mason jar.
Answer 3 live cast questions and get the drained pus and goo.
Oh, my God. There'll probably be some hairs in it. Maybe a tooth.
That's like when sometimes like there's twins that develop in the womb and one of them gets absorbed into the other and there's just a tooth in their heart or something.
Mm-hmm.
That's what Bob, you gotta weigh yourself before and after.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a good point. And, yeah, and do the circumference of my my butt.
And don't eat 17 White Castles in between the two measurements.
Well, let's not tell him how to live his life. He's a big boy.
Okay. Yeah. So, yeah, I'm gonna fix my butt up pretty soon. I'm pretty excited about that.
Awesome.
I also got health insurance because of how, which is like, look at me. I have health insurance now, everyone.
How long did you go without health insurance?
16, 17 years. Or no, the 12 years, I would say I haven't had it. So I figured that's enough saving up to like now get just destroyed monthly with the fees.
Right. If you spread the cost out, you really paid about $50 a month.
Yeah. Right. Exactly. If I include the 15 or whatever years that I haven't been paying, it's cheap. It's so cheap.
I mean, you didn't have it then.
Right. But it's just, yeah, nothing happened.
True.
So toy. In other music news, Smash Mouth singer has announced that he is retiring. Oh my God. Dan, how are you dealing with this crazy news?
Well, I didn't click past the headline, but I saw it was retiring after a bad show in New York or something. Like what was the impetus?
He had a drunken meltdown on stage.
He did.
Yeah.
Mm.
The world rolled him.
The years are coming and they don't stop coming. So if you're going to retire, I'd say do it now.
Yeah, so it turns out he has a heart condition, which was diagnosed about 8 years ago. And I guess it can get worse with severe alcohol use. And guess what he does when he's on the road?
Mm-hmm.
He does a little drinking.
White Castle.
So I guess he's retiring now because he can't it's just the best for his health to not be on the road.
So it was between playing in Smash Mouth or drinking. And he said, I won't give up drinking.
You should just do like a Las Vegas residency. That way it's not touring. And you just live in Las Vegas. And then
oh, yeah, nobody drinks in Las Vegas. So that's a very good point.
I'm just trying to pitch ideas that will kill this man.
No alcohol in that city. I don't like have a, I'm not going to sit here and defend the Smash Mouth guy or whatever, but in fairness, remember when DJ Khaled, that story about him was like, he said in an interview, like he doesn't go down on his wife or something like that. And Smash Mouth jumped up and was just like, anyone who doesn't is not a king at all. And I was like, hell yeah. Smash Mouth is pro eating pussy. And I respect that.
My favorite part of that story is just the guy's name is just Smash Mouth now.
What
like,
is, I don't know.
Yeah.
Do you know it? Did they even mention it in that article?
No. I'm on board with that 100%. Just call him Smash K Mouth or whatever.
Maybe it's the opposite. It's Mouth Smash.
Mm.
Okay. I'll go with that too. Better than knowing his real name.
Yeah, which I won't do. So now he's going to retire to spend more time eating pussy. And I respect it. He's probably getting those Shrek residual checks. So good for him.
Yeah.
Well, before we go on, I want to take a quick moment to talk about Slipknot. Of course, one of the most thrilling and visceral musical collectives on the planet. And they're out on the road right now with the Knotfest Roadshow. You can see them as well as Killswitch Engage, Fever 333, and Code Orange. There's still a ton of dates all over the country. And, you know, it's been a while since shows have been back. And Slipknot seems like a great way to break the seal of your show, not going to show thing.
And you're not going to get to see Smash Mouth. So
there you
go. Somewhere.
You can get tickets, tour dates, and all the information at knotfestroadshow.com. Good stuff. And
yeah, now that the Smash Mouth is off the table, we have a big live music gap that needs to be filled. Who's going to step up to fill that gap?
Creed reunion?
I don't know that the live music industry can survive losing Smash Mouth.
Bring back Marcy Playground?
This is it. This is the end of live music as we know it. Go see that Slipknot tour, because now that Smash Mouth is not funding the live music industry, I don't know.
Third Eye Blind has to step up now.
Oh, dude, that guy. I don't know somebody who is more constantly on the edge of being canceled than that fucking guy. Like, when is that guy? He sucks so bad. Nobody likes him. I've heard the worst things about him.
What is
anything you care to share on the show?
Yeah, I'm out of the loop on that.
Oh, I don't know. I've just heard like difficult to work with, pompous prick. I have a female friend who will not be in the same room with him.
Oh,
which I think says a lot. He's just a creep. Do you remember, did you follow like the Jimmy Eat World saga?
No.
Jimmy Eat World, very nice Southwestern guys, like really don't have a bad thing to say about anybody. And I remember actually when I interviewed them for my book, I went out to Irvine and they were just kind of like, they were opening for Third Eye Blind and they were kind of like, the mood was not like great in there. And I was like, I wonder what that's about. And it was the last day of the tour. And the next day their drummer tweeted like, Steven Jenkins is such a creepy fucking douchebag. I had to get that off my chest. Like just ragging on him. That dude. Yeah. No bueno for that guy.
Huh.
Oh, actually that dude, Rob Harvilla, did a whole podcast about this one time. And he spent the whole like first 5 minutes just reading quotes that were said about him, like negative things said about him.
That's great.
He's
Eve 6
record
has shat on him a bunch too.
What?
The guy from Eve 6 shat on him a bunch on his Twitter too, because they would tour a bunch.
Mm-hmm.
He didn't have very nice things to say.
Yeah, nobody does.
Good to know. Well, in other pop news, Meghan Trainor revealed something maybe we didn't really need to know. Her and her husband. Why did I sound like Kermit the Frog there? Her and her husband.
Hey-ho, Meghan Trainor here.
Do the rest of the show.
Yeah.
Her and her husband basically announced that they have side-by-side toilets. They sit their toilets side-by-side, and they said that they once pooped looking at each other.
Just once? You build those toilets and you only use them once?
No, I think it was twice.
So it was number two.
No, they did number two twice, but they pee with each other a lot.
And she said she's also in there a lot when she's pooping, but he is in there with her.
She says, we pooped once together and we laughed and said never again, but he will hang out with me if I'm pooping because we're soulmates. Mm. And I legit miss him when I'm away from him. And we pee together, obviously.
Yeah.
Some people just have too much fucking money. This is a story that just underlines capitalist excess. Like, what's the you? Not only did you build two toilets.
They have two toilets.
Now that
I don't
I'm thinking about it, though, wasn't it
excess.
Wasn't that an a 90s SNL? Like
it was,
Bill
the love toilet.
Yep. Yeah, yeah.
Oh,
Victoria
the
Jackson,
right?
I think.
Yeah.
And maybe Kevin Nealon.
Like, they face each other. They kind of were, like, side by side, but facing each other.
100%.
You can, like, hold hands. Yep.
I'm amazed it took this long for it to become a real thing.
Isn't there also, like, a car on SNL that you could fuck? Like, there was a commercial for, like, you love your automobile. You spend all your time driving with it. But what if you could make love to it? And it was, like, the back you could just, like, fuck.
I remember the Kids in the Hall did a sketch like that on one of their reunion tours. But I think there might also be an SNL sketch.
Is that what that movie Titan is about, that horror movie that's out now?
I don't know.
It's about fucking the car.
Whoa.
Yeah, I know.
It's kind of what Christine was about, although
yeah, pretty
more
much.
Implied.
Look, the concept of fucking a car is the tale as old as the automobile industry itself. Henry Ford one day dreamed that people would fuck their automobile. Absolutely.
So, yeah, for me, I don't think it's weird that they pee together. The whole thing, though, of, like, pooping and having the other person there while you poop, that just, I don't know, nothing turns me off more than smelling someone else's shit.
Yeah. Couldn't agree
so
more.
That would be such a just total mood killer. Like, I'm not saying this person can't shit. Obviously, everyone has to shit, but I don't need to smell it.
But that's
I need to smell my significant other's poop.
Maybe that's the litmus test for knowing they're the one for you. If you can just plow through being in a room while they take a dump.
I don't know.
I think though, if they wanted this story out of the news cycle, they should send a thank you bouquet of flowers to Megan Fox and Machine Gun Kelly for being the creep couple of the week, because everything that I've seen about that GQ story just topples the toilet thing. Like, that would be, like, not even mentioned in it.
What were some highlights?
Yeah, like, what's the thing about the besides the photos?
Oh, well, it's just like, hold on, if you'll provide me a minute.
I know
minute,
they, like, tattooed each other or something.
Right? I feel like that would be, like...
There was one thing where when they met, I think he kind of negged her. Like, he kind of was like, he said something real negative about her or like ingratiating about himself. And that was his line. And then she fell in love with him or something
trending?
Like
that. It was in British GQ. Let's see. This is a quote from Megan Fox. I just remember this tall, blonde, ghostly creature. And I looked up and I was like, you smell like weed. He looked down at me and he was like, I am weed. Then I swear to God, he disappeared like a ninja in a smoke bomb.
And that made me love him.
And then here's a quote from Machine Gun Kelly. Even our first kiss, she wouldn't kiss me. We just put our lips right in front of each other and breathed each other's breath. And then she just left. This is just like two people having weird encounters. And then the other one just walks away from it.
Yeah.
Just like two ADHD brained idiots.
She smelled his breath and walked out of the room.
We had Grill 'Em All.
Oh, no. Have you ever used that line on anyone, Rob? I am weed.
I am weed. I am the one who weeds.
I guess I haven't yet. I got to work on that.
Now you can't. It's all over the news. You got to wait.
Yeah, now it's like,
years.
What are you, Machine Gun Kelly? It's like, oh, damn it.
I lay low a little bit.
You know what? I'm going to be the first one to say, yeah, they're two dummy idiots, but Everybody deserves love. So I say good for them.
Right.
And I think they're so hot.
And they're not infecting two other people either with their brand of weirdness.
See, but I don't think that – I'm looking at the pictures, Noah, now, and not to you know, debate you on this. But I don't think that they're hot because they just look like not human people.
That's what I always say about Megan Fox. Megan Kelly. She looks like a space alien.
Whoa, if they get married, she's going to have the same name as the woman from
that's
Fox
true.
News. Didn't
wow.
think of that.
So wait, is that his actual name?
No,
it's
really Machine Gun. Yeah, his name is Machine.
Machine Gun Herskowitz.
Megan.
Colson Baker. Is his last.
Now we're looking at them together. All right. See, like they don't look like. I'm like afraid of the spawn that they would produce.
Yeah.
I feel like I don't know.
He already has two kids with Brian Austin Green.
Oh,
he does.
She does. She used to be married to Brian Austin Green.
Which would make.
I didn't realize they had kids.
I don't know, man. I think she just looks like a very beautiful woman. I think he looks like a weirdo.
Well, the way they've got him dressed, his head looks too small for his body. It's very creepy.
Also, he's just like constantly looking like he just discovered space.
Yeah.
Like, look at that look. They're just like,
it does seem like she's like more mature than him.
She's a lot older, right? Yeah.
She's a few years
older. Has been like an it. She's been like around since I was like a.
He's in his early 30s. He's not that young, and she's like.
Oh really?
Yeah.
Is that it?
Really? She did Transformers. That had to be like 20 years ago almost.
Yeah, 2007, right?
Oh, I even thought it was even
35.
Before that.
And 35. He is. Oh, 31. Okay, 4 years. That's not so bad.
Yeah, that's not bad. But they both look ageless.
Right, like I wouldn't think she's 35, but I also wouldn't think she's much older than that.
Also, in some of these pictures, they look like they could be brother and sister.
There's a weird incestuous element to it for sure. They should get one of those 23andMe things done or whatever.
I will say though, like a lot of times I see these celebrity couples, and I think that this is just really engineered to get clicks. Mm. And I think they're genuinely deeply in love with each other.
Because who else would they date?
they seem like a good couple. That's me being generous.
I just feel like they're like the modern Marilyn Manson and Rose McGowan.
Mm.
We see how well that turned out.
In 15 years, we can expect some really good stories about.
Yeah. Get those Machine Gun Kelly rape trial headlines ready, Rob.
Oh boy,
he's got them in a macro. He's just the changing names around.
All right, let's read some hate mail.
Ooh,
and no man hate mail.
We got some feedback from our fans. You could, of course, if we talk about anything and you feel like, hey, I have something to say about this topic, you could always email us hatemail@metalinjection.net. Alexa, stop.
What is going on?
I thought that was your mom.
I somehow triggered Alexa. Oh no, I said it again.
Turn it off while you do a show.
Alexa, show Rob Megan Fox and MGK porn.
I have headphones on. All right. So,
Rob's already looking at that. Joke's on you.
Rob in England asks, what do you guys think about Young Rock? I like it, but might be biased as I like anything The Rock does and have watched wrestling for over 3 decades now. I don't watch the news or media at all. Does the world still love Dwayne, or are people over it because he's in everything now?
We talked about
this a few weeks ago, but I liked it. I like the Young Rock. I don't like the weird present-day interludes and how it's all framed around a political career. It's oddly political, but also doesn't take any sort of political stance, good or bad. It's very middle of the road, but all the flashbacks to when he was a kid and all the nostalgic wrestling footage is very, very good. And there's definitely a love of wrestling there. And that part I really, really like.
I still haven't seen anything past those two episodes that I had seen when we talked about this, but I just thought it was not a single edgy thing about it, and it's just not thought-provoking in any way. It's like very paint-by-numbers sitcom. You know, there's some laughs in it. It's kind of funny at times. It's also cool to see who they got to play the old wrestlers when they do the flashback scenes.
That's the highlight for me too. I agree. It's very paint by numbers. They're not revolutionizing sitcoms, but
it's gimmicky.
The twist of the wrestlers is kind of what keeps me hooked, I feel.
Mm-hmm. I don't know how long can you sustain it on that, though. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Well, there's going to be at least one more season, I guess.
Didn't he just put out a rap song?
He has like a half minute verse on a real rapper's song.
On a Tech N9ne song.
What?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's weird.
It's terrible. It's terrible. Oh, boy. It's terrible. It's like dad rap. I just wrote
good for him.
To say.
Boy, but what does rock rhyme with even? Nothing really can do with that.
It's a good point.
It's like one rung above, like, my name is Dwayne and I'm here to say.
Oh, my God.
It's a little better than that, but.
I said one rung better. It's a little better. That's
okay,
a little.
That's fair. All right. Then Israeli guy chimes in. He says, hi, I just wanted to comment on what you said last show, tattoo. Were huge in Israel 20 years ago. They were even scheduled to perform in 2003, but canceled at the last minute.
Mm.
Me and my Russian friend from school knew all their lyrics by heart and everything.
Oh, my God.
Hilarious.
Having said that, I'm not sure they retain their charm by now.
You think?
Yeah.
One of those anti-gay bigot.
Well, she's okay with lesbians. She just thinks dudes with dudes is gross looking.
Right. She's an anti-male gay bigot.
Yeah.
Makes sense. No,
it makes sense.
Well, it makes sense for a Russian woman to feel that way, I would say. I believe that.
Does your mom agree? Speaking of Russian women, how does she feel about
that? I don't know. I haven't checked in with her.
What's her stance on tattoo?
Yeah.
I'll have to get back to you guys on that one. I also want to talk about the Metal Injection live cast music break. It's a Spotify playlist that we do as opposed to actually taking a break during the show and avoiding any sort of copyright issues. We just throw what we would put in a break into a Spotify playlist, which you can follow. Just search Metal Injection live cast. And each one of us pick a song. Oh, we should have got you to pick a song, Dan. Maybe you can do it on the fly right now.
No. I get paid for this kind of stuff now.
Reading
books. I get. You want my opinion on music?
We'll do
those checks, baby.
We'll sell out by Real Big Fish.
Sure,
that's your song.
I'm sure your listeners will just fucking love a 1996 ska song for sure.
Hell yeah,
yeah.
What do you think I put on there every week? Do 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 do. It's like Goldfinger, Real Big Fish,
the Boss Tones.
No, that's too true.
You don't like Boston, you said?
Only Slapshot.
So I'll kick off the playlist. I picked Rusty Cage by Soundgarden. They just released this 25th anniversary reissue of Bad Motor Finger. I listened to it last week when it came out. And it's such a great album. There's a lot of great songs. And Rusty Cage in particular... one of the best Soundgarden, like one of the heaviest Soundgarden songs. There's this big breakdown in the middle with galloping guitars. And I'm always like surprised, like, oh yeah, Soundgarden can get really heavy sometimes. And I love it. And I miss Chris Cornell. Rest in peace, a legend. So that's my pick. Sid.
Well, speaking of rock and roll books, I've been reading Dave Grohl's new book this week. So I picked the song God's Look Down by the band Scream, because that's the first song he wrote and released where he sings lead vocals. It's not the best song, but it's just an interesting little like historical footnote of a song. And the book's okay. It feels a little too polished for me to believe that he actually wrote it. Like it's really well written.
What's coming out from the same publisher?
What's that?
It can't be.
That's true. Sell out by Dan Ozzie, so readers can buy both and decide which one was better written.
I just couldn't think of it. Out of sight, out of mind, you know?
Same publisher. He's kind of like my rival.
I'm sorry.
No, it's good.
Send that book back.
I think the rivalry will help me. Should I start picking fights with Dave Grohl?
Yes.
Like famously nice this guy.
No. Start picking fights with people who buy Dave Grohl's book.
Yeah, I'm just going to go to the Amazon reviews and people are like, this book was pretty good. And I'll be like, hey, fuck you.
Well, one thing you do have in common with Dave Grohl, good friends with Robert Pasadena, mm-hmm. and have delicious meals together.
You've had a meal with Dave Grohl?
So, Rob, tell the story again.
Dave Grohl cooks for me.
Wow.
Famous barbecue.
That's
me and 100 other people at a backstage.
Right.
But he did single you out and say
he
was a fan of your work.
You.
He did, yes. He's a big fan of my work. I don't want to keep telling the story. I feel very...
Yeah, you do. You're a fucking liar.
We'll just keep alluding to it.
I'll have to tell it to you in person, Dan, because it is truly a phenomenal story. We don't need to recount it here. But bless you, Dave Grohl. Bless your mother. Bless your father.
No, he doesn't like his father.
Oh.
That's a major through line in the book. Any chance he gets to say nice things about his mom and bad things about his dad, he's into it.
Well, I know he loves his mom, Virginia. Virginia, right? That's her name?
He's from Virginia. I don't know if her name is Virginia.
Rob's on his Wikipedia page now trying to...
Yeah, we can see the screen reflected on your forehead.
I'm just looking at the index
Virginia
of my my book, and he is mentioned on page 64 in my book. So, you could get my book and get a little girl, but a lot of other stuff, too.
Wow, very academic. You have an indexed
bibliography.
Yeah, I was looking at it, and it's so fucking funny. Like, it makes me laugh so hard because I, sneaked in so much weird stuff, and then I'll have Morrissey and Mudvayne on the same page in my index.
Oh, wow.
It's so weird. I got Kiss and then Knapsack. That makes sense.
Whenever I pick up the new Dan Ozzie book Sellout, I after I read it several times, I want to go back to the Knapsack part.
Yeah.
So I look in the index and there it is. I look under K and there's Knapsack.
I mean, the index is basically for people who are in the book, right? To be like, let me see what pages I'm on. Okay, I'll just read that.
Darren, what was your pick?
Oh, well, I felt a little bit self-conscious that we did a Patreon episode trashing the shit out of Metallica's covers album, the Black Album covers album, other bands covering Metallica. So I included a good Metallica song that I actually really like, which is their cover of Stone Cold Crazy by Queen, which I think is probably my favorite cover that Metallica ever did. And it's from their Justice studio session, so it sounds like a Justice song. Queen done as a Justice song, which is very cool.
Noah?
So I think from that Patreon episode, or maybe a Thrash It or Trash It that we did, someone sounded like the guy from Filter, and then
Richard Patrick.
Dan always reminds me of the 90s, and I'm in Halloween mode. So I went to the Tales from the Crypt soundtrack, and I chose Hey Man, Nice Shot by Filter.
Also on the Cable Guy soundtrack.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah, you know that scene where he's dunking the ball and breaks the backboard? that's the song playing.
Yeah, and that happens to be one of my favorite soundtracks. I don't even know if movies do soundtracks anymore, but when they did, it was one of my faves.
Awesome. Right. Nice. And of course, the Patreon has been mentioned.
I don't know if I said
What's that?
Tales from the Crypt, Demon Knight.
Hmm.
Oh,
yeah, I remember that.
I wanted to mention the Patreon. Of course, we have a Patreon where you can get even more Metal Injection live casts. You can get video versions of our episodes and two bonus episodes a month. This month, as Darren mentioned, we're playing through the entirety of this Metallica covers album, the Metallica Blacklist. It's four discs of covers of the Black Album. The first part, which is the first half of a two-part series, is already up. It's currently up right now. You could hear us torture ourselves with the first two discs of the album, and we basically play a minute of each song and then kind of review it and say if it's worthy of your time, worthy of our time. And then this Friday, we're posting part two, and part two features all the Nothing Else Matters covers, which, oh my God, brutal.
I think I have, some friends on this. There's 100 artists, right? So it's not surprising.
Yeah.
Looking up who I know on this. Sorry.
Miley Cyrus?
We had a couple of guests that we've had on the show that were on there.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Aaron Beam.
Wait, oh God, sorry. I know you guys just said that you did this last episode, but they'll have like 6 people do Enter Sandman.
Yes.
Yes. Yeah, it's brutal.
What the fuck is the point of this?
12, nothing else matters.
Yeah, that was...
Well, the real bad thing is that the way the album's structured, they're all back to back. Like, they don't...
Yeah.
You have to listen. You play this in order. You have to listen to the 12 of the same song in a row.
That's a good point, Darren. Like, I wonder if maybe we wouldn't have been so turned off if the songs were just kind of like on shuffle.
Yeah. Well,
why did they do it this way?
So bad. I don't know. I think it added to our episode, though, that we were more annoyed, though.
I've been quietly working on a covers album, and I found that one of the problems is that, like, everybody does jump at one song or whatever, and you have to be diplomatic and be like, oh, we already got, like, somebody doing that. Do you want to do something else? But Metallica just is like, yeah, sure, that's fine. We can have 17 fucking covers of Sad But True. That's fine.
Yeah. And then there's some songs where there's only one cover.
Yeah, I don't get the breakdown at all. Get a spreadsheet, dude. Get a fucking Excel spreadsheet if I can figure this out.
Yeah.
Wait, so did you just give us an exclusive?
Ooh.
Yeah, but I will not talk about it further because I have a lot of work to do. Dude, getting records pressed is like, I not a secret, is a fucking nightmare right now. It's insane. It's like a 7-month
like a
turnaround time at least.
Yeah.
Crazy. But, you know, if you're Metallica, you can just get it done overnight.
Why is that?
No, I'm sure it took them a while too. They probably had it planned for a year.
What's the holdup? Why?
Well, supply chain. The holdup is there's like basically 3 pressing plants left in the country. Maybe I'm like the one that I'm using and most people are using is in like the Czech Republic, or it's a company based here, but they like work with a plant in the Czech Republic. It's not.
I bet
like,
Lamb of God doesn't get their records pressed through that one.
Like nowhere to do it.
Damn.
Yep. And so with the Patreon, if you want to join, it's $5 a month, patreon.com/metalinjectionlivecast. And if you want to throw in a little extra, $10 a month, you can become a top livecast fan of the week. You get all the $5 perks and you get a little shout out at the end of the show. So how should we do these shout outs?
Kermit the Frog voice.
Yeah.
No. Okay. I want to give a few shout-outs to our top livecast fans of the week. I want to thank Eric. I want to thank Benjamin, El Duderino,
God,
Dan R, Croc Destroyer, Sam I Am, Mindy Mayer Skippa, Jander, Shasur Sususus.
You're losing
Dallas.
It.
I want to thank Rob Vampiro, Hugo Likes Tacos, Lando Banks, LaCroix, Doug Pigman, Davis Klowski, Scooby-Doo 182, Douglas, who are you, Levison? Hey, guys, it's Josh.
Those are our top livecast fans of the week. Patreon.com/metalinjectionlivecast.
I thought in the middle of that you sort of morphed into anti-Iron Maiden concerned parent.
There's a little Kermit in there, I guess. All right, well, that is our show. Thank you for tuning in. Thank you, Dan, for being part of the show. Sellout is the book. A bunch of great essays about bands.
No, it's not essays. Don't listen to Rob.
Wow.
It's not essays.
What is it?
It's extensive research chapters, full chapters. You've never seen anything like it. No essays.
All right,
Rob.
Sorry.
Sellout.biz.
That's the address. Thank you for tuning in. We'll see you next week.
Recording stopped.
All righty.
Thank you, Dan.
Thank you, Dan. Sid, I had something to ask you offline, and now I forgot what it was. Oh,
no.
Is the Dave Grohl book good?
It's all right. It just, it does feel like it's too polished.
Yeah.
But it's good. I mean, there hasn't been anything too like juicy yet.
Okay.
I'm just up to like, Nevermind's about to come out.
So. I wonder, I hope that goes well for him.
Yeah.
Cool. Well, thanks guys for having me. I appreciate it.
Pleasure.
Yeah, of course.
Maybe you want to promote your live show. Don't you have a live
event? Yeah, I guess I should have done that, but.
Fuck.
If any of you guys come out to L.A. and want to get a burger that's also grilled cheese sandwiches,
Noah's within shouting distance of you already. She's in Tucson.
Noah, do you want me to bring 40 pounds of burger?
Five Guys?
Yeah.
40 pounds of Five Guys, like literally Five Guys?
Yeah.
Sure.
Well, thanks, guys.
Have a good night.
You guys too.
All right.
Bye, Dan.
Bye.